So this is our last sermon on our path of discipleship. We've been taking a look at what are the disciplines that God would have us to do so we might grow in our faith with Him. And we're asking every church member to say, where do I fall? What is next for me? What is the next thing God would have me do? What is the next discipline God would have me work on? Here at the beginning of the year, I think it's a great time to do that. I'm not going to call them resolutions, because we never keep our resolutions. But can we say, what is the discipline that God wants me to focus on this year? You know, last month was December. We focused on Lottie Moon and the international missions. We always say there's three things we're called to do in response to missions. We're called to pray, give, and go. And so our last stop on our path of discipleship is engaging our neighbors and going on mission trips. I think we do a pretty good job of praying for missions. Pray for missionaries in our prayer time and our WMU groups. We have weeks of prayer. We do pretty good in the area of prayer. We give. I've said it before, I'll say it again. This is the most giving church I've ever been a part of. You support missions and support special offerings all year long. You all are great givers. It is the go that I feel we struggle with the most. God tells us to go on mission. So that's what I want to focus on this morning. And I feel it's important enough to include in our path of discipleship. If we are going to be obedient in our discipleship, we must go. I believe that with all my heart. All we have to do is look at Jesus' final instructions to the disciples in Acts chapter 1. Jesus is about to leave the disciples. He's about to ascend into heaven. His time on earth is done. The disciples are left looking at one another. What do we do now? What do we do with what he's called us to do? Can we really make a difference? Do we just go back to our families and live our old lives? Do we just go back to how we always lived? Can we really make a difference? I give praise. I thank the Lord. I celebrate that they did not go back. They moved forward. They were obedient in what they gave. They were obedient to share the gospel. They were obedient to give all that they had, and they were obedient to go. And because they did, thousands of people were saved. The gospel was taken all the way from Jerusalem to Rome. Because they were faithful, divisions between Jews and Gentiles were destroyed. Divisions between men and women, slave owners and slaves, all those barriers were destroyed. And you and I sit here today in this room because they were obedient to do what Jesus said to them in those final moments. So let's take a look at what Jesus said to his disciples there on that mountain. And let's learn how we are to be obedient as well. Acts chapter 1, starting with verses 6 through 8. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Here we see that God has called us to go into the world. The disciples asked Jesus, are you ready now to establish your kingdom here on earth? Is it going to happen now? They were still expecting Jesus to establish an earthly kingdom. They're expecting Jesus to start a revolution that would end the Roman occupation of Israel, bring Israel freedom, end the oppression and suffering it had faced since the time of Abraham. They had just seen the power and glory of Jesus defeating death and the grave. And now they wanted Jesus to be their general in a war against the kingdoms of earth. They wanted Jesus to set up a nation that had boundaries, that had its own government, its own armies. But God was thinking about something even greater than that. He was wanting to establish his kingdom, a kingdom that go beyond cultures, go beyond boundaries, go beyond governments or language or culture or any of that. Look at what he said. You will be my witnesses. You hillbillies will be my witnesses. You uneducated and simple folk will be my witnesses. You ones who called me crazy
who shouted at me in the boat and doubted me in the upper room. You temperamental netcasters and tax collectors, you will be my witnesses. It will be you that will set up my kingdom. The same is true today. He's still using plain, ordinary folk to establish his kingdom here on earth. Even here at Flint Hill Baptist Church, you teachers, you bus drivers, you landscape company owners, you retirees, you IT people, you secretaries, you high school students, you insurance salesmen, you city workers, you will be my witnesses. You will be my agents to change the world. As a matter of fact, there's no plan B for bringing the world into relationship with him. You and I are plan A. And there is no plan B. Your job, my main job, is to be about the Great Commission. To be about changing people's eternities. To change the world one soul at a time. And we're to do it in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our ends of the earth. And we're to start with Jerusalem. We are to engage our neighbors. Jerusalem was where they lived. It was their hometown. Jerusalem is your hometown, where you live, the street you live on. You are the best person to reach your neighbor on your left, your neighbor on your right, and your neighbor across the street for Christ. You've been strategically placed there by God so you might be a missionary to your neighbors. Do you know who your neighbors are? If you don't, how can you reach them for Christ? In your bulletin is a neighborhood map for you. Mark the names of the people that live across the street from you, to your right, to your left, to your catty corner across the street to the left, and the catty corner to the right. Get, if you don't know their names, if you can't write their names, do something to get to know them. First place to start is maybe make some homemade cookies or brownies and take them over there. Introduce yourself and let them introduce themselves. And after you know them, know their name, invite them over to your home for a grill out, for dinner. One author said, we should invite our neighbors over for a grill out 6 times before we invite them to church. Now, I think a church invitation is appropriate at any point. But what he's trying to communicate is that when we build relationships with our neighbors, we'll be more effective to reach them for Christ. And they're going to be much more likely to accept an invitation to church from you if you already know them, if you've already grilled out with them. Next, do acts of kindness for your neighbors. Mow their grass. Take back the trash cans. As a blessing for us to bless our neighbor with a trampoline for their 6-year-old to play on. It was a gift to us. It was really nice. Our teenagers weren't using it very much anymore, so we gave it to them. So we flipped it over the fence. And about every afternoon, I see her head popping up above the fence over and over again. Hi, Mr. Wayne. Hi, Mr. Wayne. Hi, Mr. Wayne. As I've said before, your home is to be a mission outpost in your life. Your home is to be the lighthouse on your cul-de-sac or block. I know that's been the case for the Fiends on their cul-de-sac. Their house located in the center, right at the top of the cul-de-sac, has been a spiritual center for the street for years and years. But them coordinating ministry to their neighbors, them hosting Bible studies in their home, they've even had several offshoots of those Bible studies that are going on to this day. To be a faithful disciple is to engage our neighbors, engaging them with relationships, engaging them with kindness, engaging them with our lives, and with Jesus Christ. But Jesus didn't stop there. He says, you'll be my witnesses in Judea. That's equivalent to going into our country, the United States. Judea was the country in which they lived. The United States is the country we live in. So we are called to go on mission trips domestically. That's why we offer church-wide mission trips to Georgia every year. So we might go someplace different than we are and make a difference for Christ. Short-term mission trips do 4 things. They encourage the home missionaries we go to serve. They invigorate church plants in those places. They bring hope to the communities we go to. And 4, it changes the lives of those who go. But not only are we called to go on trips domestically, We're called to go to places that are difficult. Jesus said, "You'll be my witnesses in Samaria." Israelites and Samaritans hated each other. They were both racist towards each other. There were decades and decades of hostility and terrible acts in their history that fueled this racism. Israelites would travel 70 miles outside of their way to avoid going through Samaria. But Jesus says, "I want you to go into Samaria. I want you to be my witnesses in Samaria." If you remember, Jesus went into Samaria and he had a conversation with the woman at the well. And because he did, the whole town became Jesus followers. We are to do the same. We're to go to places that are different from where we come from. We're to go to people who are different from us. We're going to different cultures, different races, different ways of doing things. I believe when we do so, we're better. We show the love of Christ to people who are different than us, and they see Christ better because we did. And we see Christ better because we did. It grows them, and it grows us. So we are to go to the inner city. We're to go to the Appalachian Mountains. We're to go to a place where it is poverty stricken. We're to go to places where people are on drugs and drugs have taken a foothold in a community. We're to go to places where they speak a different language. We're to go to a place where the gospel is not well received. We're to go into Muslim areas or to Mormon country or to the Northwest where Christianity is scarce. God calls us to go places that make us uncomfortable. And when we do see God at work, when we do go to those uncomfortable places, we'll see God at work in new ways. God will work in our lives in new ways. It is in our uncomfortableness that God is able to work the most. Finally, we see that we're called to go to the ends of the earth on mission. Jesus called the early disciples to go to the ends of the earth, and they did. Peter and Paul traveled to Rome. Andrew took the gospel to what we now call Russia. Thomas took the gospel to India. Philip went to north of Africa. Matthew went to Ethiopia. Bartholomew went to southern Arabia. James ministered in Syria. Simon went to Persia. John, as we know, spent a lot of time on the island prison of Patmos, but many scholars have been surviving that, being taken to Rome where he was martyred. All the disciples were faithful to take the gospel to other nations. They obeyed the Great Commission to go to all nations, preaching the gospel. Are we not called to do the same? Do we not have more ability than the early disciples to go to other nations on mission trips? Think about it. The early disciples had no airplanes, no internet, probably not even vacation time from their jobs. They had no discretionary spending money, yet we do. Think of all the things we have that the early disciples did not. We have vacation time. We have internet. We have the ability to travel by plane wherever we want to go in short amount of time. We have discretionary spending. We even have the ability to retire and not even have to work. Do we not have more of a responsibility to go on a mission trip than the early disciples? I believe we do. David Platt, once president of the International Mission Board, said in his book, Radical, he believes every Christian should go on a domestic mission trip once a year and an international mission trip at least once in their lives. He had a secret. He knew that once you go on one international mission trip, you'll be hooked. God will do a great work, and you'll be hooked, and you'll want to go on more. I agree with him. But for some reason, most Christians think that the Great Commission does not apply to them. I believe when we refuse to go on mission trips, we are being disobedient. Something happens when we make the sacrifice to go, give a week to be the hands and feet of Christ in a place that we've not been, a place that's different than we know. We see God at work in a foreign land. It opens our horizons. It gives us a global view of what God is doing. It invigorates our own faith when we're back home in our own comfortable lives. That's why we go to Puerto Rico each year. I know it's cheating a little. Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory. But if you've ever gone, you know it's a different culture. It's like being in a third world country. And it's my prayer that someday we as a church will go to other places as well. I'm excited to see what God does. Let's keep reading. Verses 9 through 11. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were still gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And he said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you in heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The angels had to be sent to the disciples to tell them to just don't stand there. Go. The message is true for us. Don't just stand there. Go. I'm sure the disciples were flabbergasted. He tells them they're going to oversee the taking of the kingdom of God to the four corners of the earth. Then he ascends into heaven, leaving them alone. I don't know how long they stood there looking into the sky. Was it a couple of minutes, an hour, half a day? But God sent somebody to give them a kick in the pants. Don't just stand there. Get busy. It's time to go. The disciples would never do what they needed to do if they just stood there on top of that mountain. My friends, we can't just stand here in these four walls of Flint Hill Baptist Church. We can't expect people to come to us. We must go out, engage in our community, engage in our neighbors. We must form relationships with our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, and our teammates. We must share the Christ with them. We must disciple them out there, not here, through one-on-one discipleship. And while we're discipling them, as they grow in their faith, they'll want to be part of the body of Christ, part of the body of believers, part of a church. And then they'll come and join us in this place. But we just can't sit there and expect them to come to us. We have to go. I believe a disciple of Christ engages in their neighbors. I believe a disciple of Christ will go on a mission trip domestically. A disciple will go on mission trips internationally. And don't you believe that if we have a culture of people going on short-term missions, that we will cultivate those who will surrender their lives to full-time missions and go overseas? That's how it happens. That's the culture I want to develop here at Flint Hill. A culture that members don't ask, am I going on a mission trip this year? But what mission trip am I going on? And that will create a culture that will produce people who surrender to full-time missions and make a difference around the world. So where are you? When was the last time you went on a mission trip? Have you ever gone on a mission trip? What's keeping you from going on a mission trip this year? Now I know there's some in our congregation who are no longer able to go because of age or health concerns. But here's my rule of guide. If you could go on a domestic vacation here in the States, you can go on a domestic mission trip. And if you're able to go on an international vacation, you can go on an international mission trip. May we who are able to be faithful to go, be obedient to go. And may we, those who can't go, be faithful to pray and support financially those who can. It's my prayer. And Flint Hill Baptist Church will be an Acts 1:8 church. Will you go on mission with me?